Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you. The Lord's Day is always good, but today, this Lord's Day, we have about half of the new Fried Hardeman students, so we are so excited to have you, and we hope that you'll come back and worship with us, and we want to be a place where you can worship and connect with our congregation. You know, the summertime in Henderson is nice. It has a slow vibe to it, and it's enjoyable. There's nothing like when school is in session and all of you are back. Now, let me just, since it's like the first Sunday and some of your parents might still be here, let me just give you a little word of advice if I can real quick. So it was about 22 years ago that I was being dropped off here. My parents, my grandparents had driven me up 14 hours from South Texas. And it was the Sunday morning of Interfaith and we went to worship. And so after worship, I was with my Interfaith group and like, my parents like, okay, bye. And I remember their car driving off. It's like, hey, see you later. And so I talked to my mom a few days later. And it's like, hey, how you doing? She's like, well, I'm okay. I'm feeling a little better. She didn't know I was going to tell us. And she said, you were just like, okay, bye. And she said that drive home was the longest drive home. I thought my heart would never stop breaking. Cue the aww, right? So listen, if your folks are still here, there's probably a few parents still here. You know, if you need to just up the ante a little bit, be a little dramatic, turn the waterworks on a little bit, it will really help your parents feel better. So do that for them, okay? Learn from my mistakes. Now, my mom is actually two rows down from me now, and she's here this morning. They moved up my junior year. They missed me so much, right? And then I left, and I just moved back last year. So now she's 10 minutes away. But anyways, all that to say, it is hard on your folks as they leave you, and I know you're excited. But, you know, give them a little extra love. This morning in our college class, we were talking about what people want from life, and we were reflecting a little bit on what these students are wanting out of life and the need to acknowledge God in our plans. And I wanted to use that as a springboard for our lesson this morning as we talk about answering the call. And that's what I want to talk about this morning because that's not language we really use a whole lot. You know, what if I asked you, what would you say if I asked you, what is your calling? Or what if I said, how is God calling you? Well, it might make you a little bit uncomfortable because, like I said, we don't really use that language very often. And, you know, we don't talk about it, or maybe we've heard people talk about hearing God say something to them or speak to them. But this morning, I want to take that concept of call, and I want us to engage that question by turning back to Scripture to see what God's call is and then think about some application to our own lives. As Seth just read in Genesis chapter 12, we have the call of Abram, a famous call. In fact, probably in your Bible, in the subheading right above it, it probably says, the call of Abram. All right, and so what do we see that call is? Let's read it afresh one more time. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, we look back at this and we think, wow, what an amazing call and what it launched and what it started. And we're going to see the covenant and all those things that God is making with Abraham and the people and ultimately the blessing of Jesus. But what comes first in that call? In that call, the first is the negative aspect. It's the leaving. Before he heard the positive, he heard the negative. He had to leave. He had to leave his country, his culture, his extended family, those he'd been around. He's going to a new place. What if I said, all right, guys, pack up. We're going somewhere, right? And you're like, I just got here. Right? I'm a planner. I want to know, where am I going? What's going to happen? How do I need to pack? But Abram gets this call that God says to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land I will show you. But you see, what did he gain? He was to gain land and children and descendants and influence, and again, through him, all people would be blessed. Wouldn't that be nice to get a nice, clear call, like, you know, that God would just speak to us today, right? And you're like, what major should I be? And God's like, do this. And you're like, okay, that would make it really easy, right? It doesn't happen for us. There's another example that I think of from the book of Esther. If you want to flip over to Esther, one of my favorite stories, obviously. I have an Esther myself, a daughter Esther named after her. So here's what I love about Esther. This is in a way, this kind of call in this moment, but God doesn't speak from heaven or speak to her of what she should do. You see, what's happened, of course, is Esther is probably around the age of a lot of you that are coming to college and starting college. We're going to be in chapter 4 here. Probably perhaps one of the best-known passages from Esther. So here Esther, as a young girl, has been taken in this ridiculous beauty pageant, and she's ended up as the wife of the king. And now there's going to be an edict by the villain Haman that all the Jews across the entire empire are going to be killed. Genocide. And Mordecai, her cousin, tells her, "You need to go do something about this. You are the queen. You need to talk to the king." And Esther tells Mordecai, she says, "Nobody goes to the king uncalled. And we all know the law. We all know the rule. It's death unless he extends the scepter, right, when you come before the king. And he hasn't called me for 30 days. It's a lot of pressure. And yet we see in chapter 4, verse 13, "Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, 'Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?' Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.'" What a moment here. Esther turning into such a brave woman. And Mordecai's influence there, that reminder, perhaps it is for such a time as this. Sometimes I think that's kind of how we live in God's call. We live in God's providence. And we know that God has a will, but we have a free will. And what do I do? And what ought I to do? And what choices do I make? And so we live sometimes in this feeling of perhaps. So as we think about the foundation of our call, the foundation of that is that God has created us in His image. And He calls us into relationship with Him. And that becomes the source and the foundation for our purpose. You see, we actually have a call as clear as Abraham, but it's lived out more like the providence, like Esther. Because God has revealed His will for us. He has revealed it and preserved it in His Word, and He has ultimately revealed Himself through His Son. Flip over to Matthew chapter 16. We have a clear call. Because we see Jesus telling His disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You see, our life is not about doing whatever we want to do. And we live in a time, right, that's like, follow your heart, live your truth, be who you want to be. You see this message, and we were watching a show the other night, and it was like, if you can dream it, be it, or don't dream it, be it, you know, whatever it is. You see, will you change the world? Well, I don't think you'll change the world the way the world talks about it. Are there any of you here today that are going to change the world in such a way that you're going to be written down in the textbooks and talked about across the street? I don't think so. Maybe one of you will prove me wrong, but even then, I'm willing to bet, maybe not. And you're like, this is terribly depressing. What about I'm important? No, you see, we do change the world, but I don't think it's the way that the world talks about. I think changing the world, what it looks like, is being a child of God, being a faithful friend, being a good husband or wife, father or mother, mentor, help, encourager. See, probably we're not going to change the world in grand, dramatic ways. Are there people that do that? Yes, it will happen. But out of all the billions of people that have lived through the history of man, I don't think that I'm going to make that list of standout. But you see, it's a grassroots effort. It's by those people around us, following after God, encouraging those around us. See, that's being salt and light. And that does change the world. It changes it from the ground up. When Jesus calls us to follow him, we need to let go of whatever contradicts his call over our lives. So just like Abram had to leave his home country, he had to make a break. What is it that you need to break from? Is it the guiding influence of our culture and times? Is it my personal freedom and my personal expression and my personal desires? To trade that in for following after God and for seeking God. You see, the leaving comes before the entering in. And yes, you will have to break from things. And that breaking can be painful. But what comes from it? Well, it comes God's blessings. You see, the primary calling is to follow Christ. And the secondary calling is in light of the first of that. And it involves how we should live and speak and act and think. You see, we all have the same call, but we all are individuals with our own talents, our own strengths and weaknesses. And so that call will manifest differently in our lives, and it will look different. And it will look different in what you want to pursue and what you want to do, because God has given us the freedom to do that. But we try to submit that to God's ultimate will for us. To our college students this morning, try to think about speaking to the moment as you're starting this exciting new chapter. You have a tremendous opportunity at this moment in life to make your faith your own, to sink your roots down deep. Take advantage of this time to come to a Christian university, but challenge your faith in the process, because before you know it, you're going to be leaving it, and you're going to realize that the majority of the people in the world don't think like you. So guess what? At some point, you're going to question things. At some point, you're going to suffer and wonder why. At some point, you're going to question God. You need to begin doing those things now, to ask those questions and strengthen your faith, to do it in a place, an environment, where there are people that will surround you and help you in whatever ways that we can. Because here's the thing. God is calling each of us. But does that mean that the plans are always pleasant? Is it a health and wealth gospel? Well, no. Flip over to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Maybe you know it already. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. We know this verse, right? But we got to talk about the context. Okay, quick story. A few years ago, I was teaching a semester class. It's basically like a biblical literature, biblical interpretation class. And so we're talking about the importance of context. Now, you can pretty much almost want to prove anything if you just pull things out and you pick and choose. We kind of say, got to look at context. Context, context, context. So I brought this up as an example and read this verse. And I said, and you all know this verse, right? Because you go to Hobby Lobby and you buy it on a piece of like pallet wood that's like farmhouse white paint in nice calligraphy, and you go home and you hang it in your wall or your dorm room and you drink your coffee and you're like, the Lord has plans for me. Right? And it's comfort. Yes, he does. You sip your coffee. I said, you've got to look at the context. The context here is going to be Babylonian captivity for 70 years, right? If you were born, or maybe the age that you are, if you're 18 years old and you're in care of captivity, you're probably not going to see freedom again. And yet in the midst of that, God is still going to provide blessing. Okay, now here's the really funny part of the story. I'm not lying. This is not a preacher story. This is for real. I go home that day. Alicia, my wife, walks in. She says, look what I got from Hobby Lobby on sale today. It was Jeremiah, that verse. I busted out laughing. She's like, what? I'm like, no, okay, I was just talking about it. She's like, oh, I do know the context. That's why I like it. And I said, I know you do. I'm not judging you. Right? That's why it's funny. And then I could not wait to go back to my class. I remember the day I said, guys, you will not believe what happened. And I told them, and we all laughed. I said, see, I'm a prophet. I predicted this to happen. But in all seriousness, this verse, which we take great comfort in, provides even deeper comfort in what God is doing for us, even in the midst of adversity. So that God does have a plan to give us a future and a hope, whether that's in freedom or captivity, in joy or in suffering. You know, I think of the end of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 50, we see at the end of the story, Joseph's father has passed away, and so his brothers are afraid, oh, maybe now he's going to, like, retaliate because of, you know, all that they had done to him. And in verse 20 of chapter 50, he says, I'm not in the place of God. You meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good to save many lives. What an amazing perspective, because Joseph, enduring the jealousy of his brothers, being thrown in a pit, maybe we're going to kill him, now we're going to sell him off into slavery. Then things go good for a while in Potiphar's house, and then he's unjustly thrown in prison for years. He's going to rise to be second only to Pharaoh. And so through the mountains and the valleys, God is with him. And his ability to see what you meant for evil, God meant for good that's much bigger than me. We talked about this recently. I bring it up because I just love it so much, because whenever something doesn't go right or I'm disappointed about something, Romans 8:28, right? We know that all things work together for good, those who love the Lord. So if we are pursuing God and we are loving the Lord and we are trying to align our will with His will, even when things don't go the way we think they should or we ask the why, we know that we have trust and we have faith in God that He will work it all out for good. So as you think about this today, I hope that this conversation continues along in your head today and in your coming weeks to think about if our primary calling is to follow Christ, what does that look like in your life? What are the things you are being called to break from? And are you willing to remain faithful even in the difficulties and in the midst of suffering? Because even though the path may not be easy, there are blessings to follow. You see, one of the benefits, and I love this, the college students are all spread out all over the congregation. I'd love to see it every Sunday. Keep doing it. Because here in this congregation, why we want to plug you in and get you connected is to get you connected with, I think, the intergenerational church is what we need to be. That people that we don't just have our groups that we normally hang out with, but we get to learn from others in different stages of life. And so there are others here that they can encourage you and talk about what did they have to break from. That's something our congregation think about today. How has the call of God manifested in your life? What have you had to break from? But what have been the blessings to follow? What did you gain? You know, there's one other call that came to mind was Paul. And Paul talks about it in several places in Acts. But again, think about that dramatic call on the road to Damascus. What did he have to break from? And what did he have to gain? We're going to close with a passage in Philippians, if you want to be turning there. Philippians chapter 3. You know, Paul gets something, or Saul, that gets something that we don't get. He's going to get this dramatic call, light shining down, and what do we see? Well, what did he have to break from? I mean, he has to do a total 180. What did Paul have to gain? He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He had it good. And yet, for the cause of Christ, he will suffer greatly. You see, we need to have the scope not just in our life, and generally we see, the wisdom literature tells us this, is that generally speaking, following God, your life is going to go easier in a lot of ways, in the sense of that you're striving after righteousness. And that doesn't mean that bad things don't happen and suffering doesn't happen. Right? But we see these kind of general principles, right? The wisdom of a father to his son in Proverbs. But we need to look beyond just this life too. Think about martyrs who are dying for their faith. What kind of encouragement do we have to give them? Well, just follow God and it'll be okay in your life, and it cost them their life. You see, we have to have the lens of eternity in mind too. And what did Paul have to gain? Well, he talks about the various sufferings and the things that he did, but his life was pretty good. But yet he's going to endure challenges and suffering and ultimately die for his faith. But what is his perspective? Even if you become a Christian, even if you pursue God's call, and let's say you have a really rough life, it is filled with challenges and suffering. Well, let's look at what Paul has to say in Philippians 3. Let's start in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. No matter what happens in this life, good or ill, we have a call. We each have an opportunity to live that out in our own unique ways. And through that, doing that together in community and changing the world and looking towards eternity. And we all can be part of that grand vision at the heart of God's call that started long before us and will continue long after us until the world ends. As we close today, do you need to make God's call your call? You can do that. You can wash you in the waters of baptism, washing away your sin, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and begin to live that call. Or maybe you've wandered from the call. You've pursued old things or your old life, and you need to rededicate yourself to God's call over your life. We can do that today. May we all leave here encouraged and strengthening one another to live out our own call for God. If we can help you in any way, please come forward.